Listen. Tonight, I would like to just spend a while with you deepening our understanding of our well wishes during the Christmas. What I mean by that is this. We use the typical term is Merry Christmas. And then there's also Happy Holidays. And there's several others that we use. If you look at, I'm not going to concentrate first on the word Christmas, because, I presume you know that the word Christmas comes from the word of Christ, of course, Christ, and that Mass is the same root word that is used for the word mission, which is going forth. So when you say Christmas, is saying the coming forth or the going forth of Christ. But what I'm more interested in tonight is the word Mary, or its synonyms, Happy Holidays, which sometimes I cynically spell holiday is as H-O-L-L-Y, and then a second word, D-A-Z-E. It's a holidays. But anyway, I digress. I always like to know kind of what I'm saying. I've never been a man who likes to use language without at least having some deeper understanding of the meaning of what I am saying. And so what I'd like to do is to investigate tonight with you the word merry or happy and some of its synonyms, joyful, cheerful, other words like that are synonyms. And when you join them to Christmas, what is it exactly that you are wishing for another, and why are you doing that? And I'd like to use an understanding that I learned this year about the word, the levels of happiness. And I would like to relate them to Christmas. The word happiness or merry and related to Christmas. And the reason I'm doing that is because think about this. Christmas is the only holy day in which the entire society seems to go bonkers. Okay? Now, for example, you have little celebrations for other holidays and holy days for Easter, but we don't go bonkers socially. I'm using the word bonkers because bonkers, basically, I'm talking about, what other holiday do we look at this church? The lights, everywhere you go, you have little lights. And then there's not only carols, religious songs, which is accurate, but then you also have, Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You have Santa Claus is Coming Tonight. You have all kinds of other secular songs. And then the iconography of the day. We have Santa, of course, the big fat dude, and then you have his reindeer, and then you have elves, and then you have all kinds of like where I live, I have a little condominium, and I mean, everywhere there's reindeer, and there's Casper the Friendly Ghost, and there's all kinds of creatures decorated in light. Think about it. No other holy day or holiday do we do that for. No other. And I classify it bonkers in a kind of a sweet way. Okay, I'm talking about a kind of a sweet bonker attitude. But I've been asking myself, what is it about Christmas that even people who don't believe in God get into the Christmas magic or the Christmas spirit? What is this spirit that seems to be engendered during these days? So anyway, I'd like to begin by talking about what I think most people mean when they say Merry Christmas. What I think they mean. Because I don't think most people celebrate Christmas primarily as a religious holy day. I've been telling people, you know, when instead of saying happy holidays, just say happy holy days, and restore the word, instead of holly, use the word holy. But I don't think most people celebrate it as a holy day. I think most people celebrate it as a holidays. And here's an analysis of that, and then I'm going to end up with a recommendation. I learned that a useful way of categorizing happiness is the four levels of happiness. Four levels of happiness. Going from the most shallow level of happiness to the deepest level of happiness. So, let me apply them to Christmas. So, Merry Christmas. Why are you going to be merry and cheerful? Well, on the first level, people are looking forward to pleasure. You know, the food, the fun, the presents that we're getting, that is the first level. It brings you a certain amount of happiness. You know, you can't wait to open the presents. You can't wait to eat the sweets. You can't wait to do all of that. But if you think about it, that kind of happiness or merriness is fairly, it's okay. But it's momentary. It passes really well. And it passes really quickly. So when you get home, or tomorrow, you'll have chocolates and all kinds of stuff, and enjoy them. God meant them to be enjoyed, okay? But the problem is related to Christmas. Is that what we mean? All the accoutrements of Christmas, the fun, the eating, the presents, and all of that? Is that what we mean? Even being with family. Every time I see it on TV, you know, what does Christmas mean? Christmas means family. No, it doesn't, but that's okay. And sometimes, people can say, sometimes Christmas means family. But if you think about it, that is a fairly, it's enjoyable, but it passes very quickly. And I think quite a few of us use the word merry referring to that first level of happiness. I'm looking forward to tasting, to feeling, all of that. And it's okay. It's fairly shallow, but it's okay. So what's the second level? The second level of happiness is being the best or at something. In other words, it's not just the immediate pleasure. But you might, without applying it to Christmas, being at the second level of happiness is being the best football player, being the prettiest girl, being the smartest kid in the class. It's when you are happy because of the mood that you're in. It's not just momentary sense pleasure, which is number one, first level, but it's more of the a little longer lasting. And I often identify that with what I call the secular understanding of the Christmas spirit. You know, it's not just the momentary food or presents, it's the whole ambiance, you know, the enjoyment of the ambiance. And it's beautiful. I enjoy it. I get a big kick when I come in here and I see the lights, and you walk everywhere and there's lights. And it's enjoyable. And when you couple it with the lower level of eating and drinking and family, and then the magic of Christmas, it feels good. And it just feels wonderful. But again, it doesn't last. Do you know, I read an article the other day, do you know what the saddest month of the year is, according to psychologists? January. January is the saddest month of the year. It's almost like postpartum depression. Huh? Like Christmas has been this tremendous moment, and then the baby, he came and he went. And it's, so it leaves you sort of, but it was longer than momentary pleasure, so it's level two. So what's level three? Well, level three is when you don't focus on yourself. I mean, you enjoy the first level, which is pleasure. You enjoy the second level, which is ambiance. The third level is you feel good about doing stuff for other people. Okay? So you feel good about giving. It's what how you feel good, for example, during Thanksgiving, if you give food to the people who need it, or if you're doing a good thing for other people and you live your life doing good for other people. And that gives you a sense of joy, a sense of happiness. And that's the third level. And some few people, probably a good number of people, reach up to that level. And it's interesting because, how do I say this? The temptation, for example, for people to look at me as a priest and to think that my life feels good because I do good for people. Now, please understand, I do feel good because I do good for people. But that isn't it. That's not why I feel good. I've said this before. I didn't become a priest because I like people. I like people, and I want to help people. But I didn't become a priest because I was particularly enamored with helping people. After a while of helping people, you get what's called compassion fatigue. I don't know if you've ever heard of compassion fatigue. You wind up that even when you do everything you can for people, there's always more. And not only that, sometimes they're not even grateful. You know, I did this for so-and-so and they didn't even thank me. And so you get sort of, and then of course, the more you do, the needs are never ending. And you get, I think that's a perfect saying, compassion fatigue. At first it feels good, but it's always going to drain the bejeebies out of you because it never ends. And there's a lot of people who do that at Christmas. But then it's kind of like, when Christmas is over, it's almost like some of those people say, "Oof, I'm glad that's over. Glad that's over." Okay, because you're experiencing that sense of compassion fatigue. So there's the first three levels. Pleasure, number one. Magic of Christmas and light, the ambience, is number two. And doing stuff for other people and family and stuff like that's number three. So what's number four? And number four is the one that I would like to recommend to you. And I want you to understand, what I'm saying is, I'm not criticizing levels one, two, and three. Okay? When I go home tonight, somebody made me ice cream, homemade ice cream. And I am so looking forward to a level one kick. Okay. There's no question about that. Okay? So I'm not criticizing. The problem is when you're stuck there, when you're stuck at happiness of level one, pleasure. By the way, that's what addiction is. Addiction is a person who is stuck on level one pleasure. I want more pleasure. Ooh, that felt good. Give me more. Give me more. And give me more. Now, level two is the person who always has to succeed, always has to be the best. Never can. And that's okay, but sooner or later, somebody's going to beat you. And somebody, and the ambience is going to go away. And level three, like I told you, sooner or later, you're going to get tired. You're going to get compassion fatigue. And Christmas at that level, you'll look forward to when it's over so you can stop. So what's number four? Number four is when you realize that the only true joy comes from reconnecting to the original purpose of your life. I am always very enamored of the word religion ever since I discovered the etymology of the word religion, which is so simple, the etymology of the word religion. Re, of course, anytime you use the word re, the prefix re, it means do it again, repaint, rewrite, whatever, re. Religion is a form of the word liga or league, which means to connect. So re-lig is to connect, to reconnect. So religion is to reconnect. Now, you got to question that further. If you're saying reconnect, that means that you got disconnected. You were originally connected to something and you got disconnected. Because if we didn't need to get reconnected, we could just use the word religion and not religion. And so what the word religion is telling you is that at one time, human beings were connected to their original purpose in life. We were connected to the world that God intended us to live in. You see, we don't live in a world that God made. We live in a world that we have made out of the world that God made. And we have become disconnected from the original purpose. And so we walk around in life seeking this happiness, this cheerfulness, this merriment, and only finding it on the first three levels. And the problem is that it's never enough. It's never enough because it ends. It ends always. The fourth level is when you reconnect, and in the Christian context, it's when you reconnect because God has reached out. Basically, God is basically saying to us, I do not want you to continue living disconnected from your original purpose, disconnected from who you are, walking around always unhappy, trying to figure out how to be happy, and not finding too much. If you were to ask Jesus, just directly, why did you come? The answer is right there in the Bible. Jesus says, I came that you may have life and have it in its fullness. Now, what does that imply? It implies that we don't have it in its fullness. That we have life, but we have it halfway. Those are the first three levels. The first three levels are happiness, sort of. But there's always more. You always want more, and it's never enough. And so God reaches out to us because he reveals himself as a God who cares about us, who loves us. And he's basically saying, I refuse to let you all live half-assed. I refuse to let you all, I did not create you to be miserable. I did not create you to want happiness and to never achieve it. I'm coming to reconnect myself to you. And when you reconnect, when you accept the connection that God is reaching out to you to give to you, and this, but please understand, I'm not talking about some sort of an I've accepted Jesus in my life as my personal Savior immediately and it's all done. This is a constant, everyday. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, sing me praise and worship songs. He didn't say, if you love me, bring me flowers or light me candles. Keep my commandments. And so it's a struggle every day to put him first. And by the way, the word worship, that's the second word that I love. Worship. It's the suffix ship is the art and practice of anything. Penmanship, authorship, anything ship. Worth, the first W-O-R, is the word worth. Worship is the art and practice of figuring out what's really worthwhile and keeping it in its proper place. And so when you do that, you figure out that your reconnection, your religio to God is actually worth it because it is the happiness that will bring you permanent happiness. And what Jesus came into this world to do is to establish, to invite us to reconnect, because he will never force you. He came to invite you to reconnect. And if you accept, he's not going to make life hunky-dory, but he's going to show you the way. And he's saying, even when you die, I've made a place for you. The desire that you have for joy and happiness that is constant is actually an authentic desire. It's a desire that God built inside of you. You just can't find it here because you're disconnected. And that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God. Did you hear the... I'll end my homily right now. Reading the words of Isaiah. Because the words of Isaiah are really what Christmas is about. Listen to this, the first reading. By the way, if you were wondering, why does Father have his iPhone out? Well, that's why, because all my readings are in here. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. The people who walked in darkness. The first thing is you got to realize, until you figure out that you're walking in darkness, none of this is going to make sense to you. Until you realize that you're in trouble, that you're going to die, and that your desire for happiness is not going to come true, until you realize that you're always going to be half empty, until you realize what darkness is, light does not make sense. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. The land of gloom, a light has shone. Christmas doesn't make sense until you realize the gloom of this world without the light of Christ. It doesn't make sense. You have brought them abundant joy. Listen to that. Abundant joy. Where's the joy coming from? The light. And why are you so enthralled with the light? Because you were in gloom. You were in darkness. Great rejoicing as they rejoice before the harvest. Rejoice before a people make merry when dividing the spoils. So, let me shut up. But let me say one last thing. When you say Merry Christmas, you're enjoy level 1, 2, 3. I'm going to enjoy the ice cream later tonight. I shouldn't eat it because I'm diabetic, but that's okay. Just want to do it tonight. I'm going to enjoy the lights. I'm going to enjoy the Christmas carols. I'm going to enjoy my family, all of that. Just don't get stuck there, because that's not what it means. What it means is, when you really figure out that you're in the middle of gloom and that you're going to die and that everything else around you is going to pass away, and then all of a sudden says, I'm here to save you, all of a sudden, man, that's good news. That's good news. And that's when you begin living in relationship to the God who offers us that, that's when you begin understanding what Merry Christmas is all about. So, having said that, enjoy Christmas. Enjoy all three levels, but make sure you reconnect to level 4.